Isn't life grand? It's grand, isn't it? Absolutely. I heard that all the way up here. Thank you, sir. Absolutely is grand. What a wonderful opportunity we have called life on earth. Tremendous opportunity. And our speaker for this evening, I'm not sure we ought to say speakers, sir. We're just talkers up here, you know. We're not any of us have had, and I know of, have had any great speaking lessons, you know. But we just talk from our heart. And the young lady that's going to be sharing her thoughts with us this evening, I've known her for quite a few years. I don't get to see her very often, but I've known her for quite a few years. And she works for God. She's had a big change in her life lately, though. Daddy left. Daddy crossed to the free side of life. So that made a difference in her life. But she knows that he's fine because she explored to the best of her ability, the project, might I call it, called Death, where you leave the body. She's explored that quite a bit in her life. And so she was able to handle it so well. Although she was there to take care of him when he needed it. She was right at his side. So this young lady, I love, and I think you'll love her too. If you don't already know her, you'll get ready for a brand new love. It's our Leticia.
No tambourine while I'm talking, Millie. Well, I just got all choked up with that last song. Whoever recommended, was it you, Stan? I just got choked up because that is my morning prayer. You know, I get up in the morning and I say, good morning, God. How can you fit me to be of maximum service to God and your kids? You know, that's... And then I get some really great adventures that start to unfold. I want to start my talk tonight with I have too many stories. That's part of my problem. What time do I finish? Because I might be here 9 o'clock. What time do I sit down? What time do I sit down?
8:15.
Okay. All right.
20 minutes. 20 minutes.
Yes. Yes, and Stan, you have the hook if you have to pull me off. Okay. So I wanted to start with saying that I guess it was 1992, this book came out, and it was called The On Purpose Person by Kevin W. McCarthy. And I went through my life not really understanding what my purpose was, and this will be for another talk at another time, but I had an encounter with Jesus. He had come into my room, and left, and I forgot to ask him what was my purpose. I was so mad. I wasn't in awe until I was like, whoa, wait a minute. But I didn't get what my purpose was. And then shortly after, I saw that book, and I thought, maybe I ought to read it. And I did all the exercises in it, and it's a book with a workbook. And it didn't have the workbook with it. It was just you had to go by and do these questions and whatnot. So anyway, what I found out, my purpose in life is to encourage, inspire, and uplift others. And when I'm doing that, I'm on purpose, and life's just like doors open, things happen in my life, people step up and say, you know, you can't get a mortgage from your bank because you have, several years of selling properties that were underwater, and someone said, you know, well, how much money do you need? And I said, $265,000. She goes, well, would you like a 3% interest rate for 30 years? And I went, yes, I would love it. So... You know, those are some of the really extreme examples of, you know, when I'm on purpose, life just kind of goes in and out for me. One of the things that this guy said in the book was goals are consumable. Basically, you can set a goal, you can achieve it, and then, geez, if you don't get another one, there you are. If you get another one, there you go again. But purpose is permanent. So... One of the things that I, when I read this book, I thought, you know, if my purpose is to encourage, inspire, and uplift others, how am I going to go about doing that? And I'm going to introduce you to, if I have time, three people, but right now I'll settle for two. And one of them was in a restaurant that I was working in, and it was a fine dining house. And there was this gentleman named Patrick. He was 22 years old. He was a busser. And the kitchen was over here, and the, this was back in the days when you could smoke in restaurants. And the waiters were allowed to smoke in this section. And Patrick was a busser, and he was smoking. And I was pretty new into management, so I walked up to him, and I said, "Hey, Patrick, you got to put that cigarette out." And he blew smoke in my face. And I thought, well, maybe he didn't hear me because I'm afraid of conflict. So I said, "Patrick, you got to put that cigarette out." And he proceeded to blow smoke in my face for a second time. Now he's in front of the whole kitchen staff, and the whole wait staff is standing there to see what this new green manager is going to do. And I didn't know what to do. You know, like when you go into management, they don't teach you anything. They just say, "You're the boss, here's the keys, and good luck." At least the management training I got. So anyway, I said, "You know, come to the office with me." And he's walking behind me going, "Oh, I'm so scared." I'm like, what do I do with something like this? So I get in the office, and I said, "Have a seat." You know, I'm still trying to get authoritative. And he says, "No, I'd rather stand." I was like, "All right, then I'll have a seat." So I sat down, and I said, "You know what? I'm the boss. You're the employee. But right now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take my hat off. I am no longer the boss. And you're not my employee. So what's going on?" And he went on and on, lots of foul language. He went on and on and on about how this and that, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, "Okay, anything else?" And I said, "Okay, anything else?" He goes, "No, that's it. And I'm probably going to get fired." And I said, "Well, all right, let me put my hat back on. Now I'm the boss and you're the employee." And he said, "You know, I'm probably going to get fired, aren't I?" And I was like, "Well, no, not really. I mean, I'm going to be the boss now, and you're going to be the employee. What I'm hearing you say is you're frustrated that so far three managers have told you they would make you a waiter, and not one of them has come through for you. So I'm not going to make you a waiter either, because your attitude sucks. But if you want to make yourself a waiter, I have a plan." So I asked them to come in. I said, "I will schedule you at 6 o'clock every night for busing, but you come in at 5 and on your own time," which is probably illegal back then and still is, "but you come in on your own time." Like I said, I was a new manager. I would have pled that. So anyway, he came in on his own time, and I said, "The first week we're going to taste all the sauces and make sure the hollandaise hasn't broken and the, you know, duck all around. We're going to taste everything in the kitchen. We're going to taste all the sauces. And then the second week we're going to meet in the bar, and you're going to taste everything in the bar, not drink everything in the bar, but taste." So we did, you know, tasted this, you know, you got to learn how to pronounce the wines. You got to know which wines go with which foods. So anyway, long story short, the third week, "If you do this, if you want to make yourself a waiter." "Yeah, but the general manager," I said, "I'm scheduling you on my time, my nights, you know, so don't worry about it." So the third week, I said, "I will give you one table and you will have to bus your station. The second night I'll give you two tables. You'll bus your station. And the third night, and finally, I'll get you up to 4 or 5 tables." So that kid wanted to be a waiter. And that chip on his shoulder was big enough to put a potted plant on, started to go away. And he became like the highest revenue in the whole company, the highest sales for his revenue for a waiter. Then he became a training waiter. In the interim, I had moved on to another store. But what happened with the corporate was right around the corner from this restaurant, and they knew him, and they saw that the change. And so anyway, in the end, I ended up being transferred to several different stores that had problems. They had food problems. They had, you know, high turnover. You know, sales were down, and then they would send me in and give me 90 days to turn the store around. And what this gentleman taught me was, when somebody is pissed off, frustrated, irritated, they usually have a reason, and nobody's listening. So he taught me to sit down with this new staff, you know, that's throwing my keys away, you know, another one of the managers. And I would sit down with them, and they'd say, "Well, you know, I'm tired of, you know, we're always running out of, like, main menu items." And I said, "Well, that's either theft or ordering. So that's pretty simple. Okay, and I'm really frustrated because I go to get a cup of coffee, you know, 4 cups of coffee for my guests, and I go in and there's, you know, 3 cups, 2 are broken, and, you know, I was like, okay, so you need supplies. Oh, you never have a steak knife. Well, that's a supply. Oh, your schedule sucks or is horrible. So anyway, I learned how to go into a restaurant and figure out what the problems were, and sales started to go up, and, you know, people weren't quitting left and right, and, you know, and by being terrified and listening to that gentleman, I got to learn how to deal with difficult staff, employees, learn how to sit down with them and not be afraid of them, because confrontation was not my friend. So what I changed the word confrontation to disclosure. Someone's just disclosing something to me. They're not confronting me. They're just disclosing, and it's up to me to listen to it. So anyway, Patrick, years later, I'm down in L.A. He finds me, and he comes into the restaurant I'm now working in, and he's like, Leticia, and he runs over, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I didn't even recognize him. He just, you know, that chip was gone, and, you know, he just looked so adult. And so he ended up telling me that he was now at UCLA Law School, and that it was because I encouraged him and I gave him an opportunity that no one else ever did, for him to believe in himself. Not for me to believe in him, but for him to believe in himself. So did I succeed in encouraging, inspiring, and uplifting? Yes, I did. Did he succeed in encouraging, inspiring, and uplifting me? He did. He taught me a lot, that kid. The second person I want to introduce you to is Christy. Christy comes into a restaurant, and I don't know if anyone here has any teenagers that had to get their first job. They're really scary. That was the staff I used to have. You know, they weren't waiters making $200-$300 a night. These were teenagers coming in, never had a job before. And often they would be like skateboarding around the parking lot and flip up the skateboard and come in, you know, the pants hanging down a little beyond normal. And saying, hey, I want a job. And it's like, yeah, I bet you do. It's like, go away. Or the girl coming in her bathing suit and, you know, she's got sand all over her and she just got some skimpy cover up. Hey, I would like to have a job. And it's like, yeah, okay, I'm sure you do. Or the kid that, you know, the mom pulls up into the parking lot and basically is dragging that kid out of the car. Get out of that car. You're not getting dinner. You know, go get an application. So some of these kids have never been interviewed before, and I think it's a shame that our school system does not teach children how to interview, how to have bank accounts, how to, you know, how to go shopping, not at Starbucks because that coffee costs more. You know, it's like a teenager. You know, like, so how much money do you spend a week on Starbucks, or does your mother spend on Starbucks for you? So anyway, these kids would come in, and sometimes I just like, oh, this is so. It reminds me of me when I went for my first job. I went to a nursing home, and I thought I could be a nurse. I was 15, and they made me work in the kitchens and make grilled cheese sandwiches, but I put white on. Like, I didn't know. No one taught me how to interview. So my heart's going out to these little guys that are coming in. And they would come in, and, you know, I said, all right, I'll tell you what. Trying to do an interview with a teenager is near impossible. Where do you see yourself in 2 days from now? You know, the normal question, where do you see yourself in a year from, where do you see, you know, how about next Saturday? What do you think? So I'm sitting down with these kids, and some of them, oh my gosh, I would have to say, okay, I'll tell you what, here's my questions. You ask me the questions, and then I'm going to give you not only the answer, possible answers, but the mindset, like how you would answer this question. And then you come in tomorrow and you answer the questions. And the ones that answered me for exactly what I said, didn't get the job because they couldn't come up with their own ideas. Well, I'm going to be an astronaut. No, you're not. No, you're not. So anyway, this, you know, or they would come in and they'd say, I want a job. Well, what do you want to do? Well, there's 5 stations. What would you like to do? Well, you know, I don't know. And I'd say, okay, well, you know, you got 5 minutes. Go around and talk to each staff member. They understand when you're coming that you're going to say, what do you do and how do you like it? What do you, you know, here's a little list of questions to ask them. So anyway, and then come back and tell me what job you would like to do. So this girl, Christy, comes in one day, and she walks in, and, you know, big wide eyes, and she sits down, and I'm interviewing her, and it's like, wow, I wonder if somebody coached her. I wonder, like, maybe if she came from a family that paid attention to her as a child and as a teenager, and, you know, maybe somehow she had dreams or something. So anyway, I'm looking at her, and she's doing really well in this interview, and I said, you know, I'm sorry, I don't have a job for you here, you know, and the face crestfallen. And I said, but you know what, I'm going to encourage you to go up to the corporate office, because there's something different about you, something good different about you, that you have a caliber of presence in you that I think you, and she probably didn't understand a word I was saying, but I said, I think there is something that would probably be better suited for you up at the corporate office. And she did go up to the corporate office. Actually, I talked to her today, and she said, now it's been 28 years later, she went up to the corporate office, she got the job up there, she's been up there ever since, and now she's the director of human resources and recruitment for 147 restaurants. You know, and oh, yippee me. No, the story behind this was the joke we used to use in the restaurant, because it is a food industry. The joke we used to use was like, man, wouldn't it be great if, like, you know, like a cartoon and you see somebody and they're a steak? You know, well, wouldn't it be great if, like, a filet mignon walked in here and we could hire them? You know? And we just said, like, man, I got nothing but hamburger today. I got 15 applications. They're all hamburger. Well, here comes this filet mignon. Well, actually, she was surf and turf. She comes in, and I'm like drooling out, oh, my gosh, the things I could do with this woman as far as training and developing and blah, blah, blah. But really, that would be self-serving on my part to hold somebody back. You know, have you ever been in a company or a place where, you know, you were excelling, you were learning, you were doing great, and your boss didn't want you to go anywhere but under their thumb? And that's so painful. I've had that before. But I have tricks, you know, I know how to get out from under the thumb. So anyway, is it quarter after or 10 after?
Quarter to 20 after
at the month. Okay. Oh, 20 after. I could do one more story. No, I won't, because I like to sing and I like message bearing.
But it's all up the
middle. So I think what I'm trying to say is that, you know, when I was doing those things with those people, you know, with Mike, I mean, not Mike, I never told the Mike story. That's another one. I will tell that one. I got a few minutes. So this little, it's another fine dining house, you know, with tuxedos and all that stuff. And this kid comes bopping in down the stairs. And, you know, I don't know terminology because I'm never politically correct, but he was like a gang. He was in a gang and, you know, whatever that stuff is, you know, like, you know, he kept saying the word cholo and I didn't know what that meant. And, you know, I'm pretty naive. So anyway, he was in a gang, and he was kind of going down the wrong road, and he comes in, but what was different about him was they came in, he had a pressed shirt, and he wanted to have a job, and I said, okay, I'm going to hire you as a busser. So I hired him as a busser, and my bus staff was all hamburger, and at best, and I was fairly new at this store, and my job was to turn this around to get the best, and then the waiter, and then the bar, and blah, 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 blah. So my first task was the busing department, and I hired Mike. And Mike, I told him that he looked fabulous, and he needs to come in, he needs black pants, I want him pressed down the center. Oh, my gosh. It's like, can you take my laundry home? Because he came back so pressed. And so within a short period of time, he's taking pride. You know, I mean, whatever it was he was doing before, he probably did it proudly, but now he's doing this proudly. And I ended up became my head busser, and, you know, okay, and, you know, well, what do I have to do? And I was like, well, you just have to train everybody and make sure they have, you know, the uniform. Let's start with a uniform. Correct uniform and no, you know, foul language under their white shirts. So anyway, he brought an iron into work. He was ironing their shirts, teaching them how to iron their shirts. He did a phenomenal job. And then it came time, I was like, okay, now I'm going to teach you how to do schedules. And he didn't like conflict either, so he ended up finally learning how to do a schedule. And then it was like, okay, now I want you to do the hiring. And I'm trying to teach him how to hire, you know, sit with me, we'll interview, and then I'll sit behind you and you can enter, you know, and he didn't want any part of it. So I hired somebody, I don't know, what's lower, oh, cat food, not hamburger, cat food, lower than lower. And he, and it was on purpose so that he would say, maybe I better do the hiring after that one. And it worked. So he started doing the hiring. So his first hire, now we're going to fast forward 20 years and I get a call from him. I'm living in San Diego. I get a call from him. He found me and he said, you know, I just have to tell you a couple things, Leticia. That because you gave me that job, you gave me that position, you gave me the authority to make all kinds of decisions in that job, I started to see myself as a lot more than what I was doing in my life. I was heading down the wrong road with the wrong people. And now I am a police officer. And he says, and the funny thing is that what got me thinking about you was that we get a call, cars pull up, he gets out of the car, and it's a drunken disturbance, and it was his first hire. And this poor little kid is like, hey, Mike! And he's like, I didn't want to let anybody know that I knew somebody that could be like that, because they didn't know what I used to be like, and they didn't know where I came from. And I said, you know, so it was a win-win. He got to be inspired and change his life. And what he didn't know for me was that I was fairly new in management. It was the first time that I actually took a person and developed them and gave them responsibility. Like, I was a control freak. So why would I give a schedule to somebody if it might not work out, you know? So he was the first one that I kind of slowly pried my fingers open and let somebody run. And somebody one time told me, you know, Leticia, if you put parameters around somebody, they'll only do it your way, and you'll never find another way to do it. So in my, probably 35 years of management and supervision and all kinds of good stuff like that, people have taught me how to be the best that I could be so that I can help them be the best that they can be. And when I'm doing that, I'm on purpose because I'm inspiring, I'm encouraging, and I'm uplifting others. So if you're going to go into work tomorrow, this is one of the things, like at one point, you know, because there are so many wonderful stories that I have, and people actually take the time to get back to me. So if anyone has ever touched your life, changed the direction of your life, try and find them, because we don't even know until somebody calls us and tells us. The other thing is that when I'm not encouraging, inspiring, and uplifting others, I'm becoming miserable. And when there was a time at work when I was becoming miserable, really miserable, and when I become miserable, I start making other people miserable. Like when your staff starts taking your coffee cup away because you're too amped up, I'm like, it's my first cup. It has nothing to do with caffeine. I just think you're all hamburger and I want to fire you. You know, that's where I can get to. So one day I was driving into work and it's a long road to where I was working, and I started getting ready to pull up to the building, and I had a parking spot on the back, on the side. And I thought, you know, what was it like when I first got this job? How motivated was I when I first got this job? How happy was I when I first got this job? I was full of hope. I was full of fear and nervousness and all kinds of things. So I decided to park in the front. And I'd been there 17 years, and the last 3 years of my employment, I parked in the front on the street, because I remember that. It was like the long walk to the front door, that I didn't know what I was going to do and who I was going to meet and if they would like me and if I would like them. I never thought of that, but later I figured out. So anyway, there are ways that I can call myself on when my purpose isn't moving in the direction it needs to be, which is to encourage, inspire, and uplift others. And all of that, when Stan, you said that song, you know, it's such a beautiful song because it's, God, how can you use me? And I never know what way I'm going to be used. I got one more minute. I'm going to talk about this woman here with the blue and the white sweater, Tamara. She's another one of the stories. And she tells me on a regular basis, thank you so much for changing my life and my family's life. And as sweet as that is, you know, when I met her, not so good. And now I look at her, she's got her master's and she's working and helping a lot of people. I didn't teach her that. sometimes she says, I'm like, I didn't teach you that. You brought that forward because you work for God as well. So I'm so grateful that you continuously are in my life to say thank you for being who I am, for God using me. So the very, very last thing, I promise, people compliment me all the time. There's things that I do in my life. Literally, people come to me after years and say, you saved my life. You saved my life. And I'm not an ambulance person. But they say, you saved my life. And I could get a really big head with that one. So what I do instead is someone comes up and gives me praise or compliment or admiration or whatever. And what I do is I take it and turn it into a flower. And I hold it against my chest. And I take it in against my heart. And when I get a bouquet, I offer it up to God, because that's where it belongs. It is God's love for me that lets that come out through me and for me. So I hope tonight, maybe tomorrow when you drive up to your work or to your sister's or your brother's, or, you know, you're the owner and you're opening up your shop, that you get to say, how can I touch at least one person today? Be it a smile. It doesn't have to be big. It just has to be. Thank you.